Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here at the table with my daughter, Madison.
Hi.
And we just finished an incredible two and a half hours of gathering in preparation with our other facilitators for our spring becoming fully devoted. Mm-hmm. So if you are in the Northwest Arkansas area and you would like to jump in with us, there are 12 of us that are going to facilitate becoming fully devoted at New Life Church Fayetteville, and we begin Wednesday, January 29th. Mm-hmm. So come jump in, and what you're hearing us talk about is exactly what we're going to be doing in small groups with multiple facilitators. So anyway, we had a wonderful time. I appreciate so much how the Spirit has just pursued the leaders, and the leaders have accepted His call to jump in and join us in just sharing God's Word and supporting any and all women that are willing to go through it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start and jump right in to sharing a truth from the Word of God. And this time, let's go ahead and share the truth and its application all at once.
Okay.
And not keep them hanging.
Okay.
So, Maddie, do you want to go first?
Sure. This week, I was in Genesis, story of Joseph, and Genesis 39, it talks about how Joseph didn't choose to leave his people because his brothers ended up, you know, throwing him in the well, exiling him, getting sold into slavery. But he lived among the Egyptians, and it says that he was able to stay strong and righteous through the, we kind of mentioned it last week with the Potiphar's wife and all of that. And so that kind of struck me as kind of, you know, motivational, encouraging his story. So then in Matthew 16, 23, it talks about how Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus replies, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So this is very shortly in the Bible after he has walked on the water with Jesus. And you talked about it on an earlier podcast about him setting his eyes on Jesus. And, you know, he takes his eyes and he looks at the winds and the waves and he starts drowning. And so then a couple days after I listened to that, Jesus says to Peter, "You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about that story and setting your eyes on Jesus. And it encouraged me in the story of Joseph. I looked back in Genesis 38 because just like last week, the two passages that I picked were like buddied up chapter to chapter. And they both struck me because of their extreme differences. This one was extremely different as well. So in Genesis 38, Judah and Tamar, it's the story of them, and Judah chose to leave his family and went to non-Hebrew people and committed all of these sins, and evil things happened pretty much because he wasn't with his tribe. He wasn't with his people, which means he's not with God, and he did not stay righteous. He did not stay strong. So then the next chapter is about Joseph did not choose to leave. Judah chose to leave. Sins were committed. Then the next chapter, Joseph did not choose to leave and he had to live among a different people. And he stayed righteous. He stayed strong. God blessed him. God ended up saving, his family, and all of Egypt prospered and everything like that. So those were just some things that I thought were interesting and that seemed to mesh. So then throughout the whole week of going through the story of Joseph and knowing that he did not choose this path, and then jumping into Matthew and Jesus calling the disciples and encouraging them and reminding Peter, you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. It felt like kind of spoke through multiple passages. So ultimately the truth that I kind of landed on was sometimes we don't choose our circumstances, but we can choose to stay righteous and strong. Sometimes we get to choose our circumstances, but we still have to choose to be righteous and strong. And he will bless and keep, whether it's like worldly blessings and riches, or more importantly, inside peace and joy and a relationship close to Jesus. He's going to bless that, and the world around should be affected in a positive way as well. Your family, your friends, coworkers, because of how strong you are standing in your faith. So it was a good kind of encouragement, truth in him, and then how I'm seeking to apply that. I'm putting into practice daily. It's kind of an affirmation, a application, motivation for continuation. That was a lot of fun words, but I need to be strong and stand righteous in what I'm doing today. And then whether my next step is of choice or something that, you know, the circumstances lands in my lap that I did not choose, I am going to continue to be strong because I am reading my Bible, I am praying, I am building a habit that's getting me closer to Jesus. So I am encouraged to continue doing that so that no matter what happens, I can stand strong like Joseph.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's powerful. And how the Word of God, like you said, throughout different passages affirms the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Just by your reading and your study of it. Mine is kind of, I know in my mind frame as I am praying about our spring ministry opportunity with other women. So I have that heavy on my heart as a prayer. I'm praying for the facilitators. I'm praying and praising him for the women he is bringing to us, for those he's awakening and pursuing and prompting, and then they accept that call and prompting to just show up, even if they're intimidated or they don't know what it's about or if life is busy, but for somehow they just feel compelled to be in the room. That is an affirmation to me that the Spirit is pursuing them to pull them in for how God is going to then speak to them through his Word.
Right.
So I know that's been front and foremost. But as I was reading, I realized, yes, 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 yes. So this is affirmation for those that have been putting in the work the last 8 weeks to prepare to facilitate these small groups. And it's as much also for the women that are going to show up and join us. So the first passage is Matthew 13, and it's 47 through 14, 12. So I was reading in chapter 13, and I got to the parable of the hidden treasure. So I'm going to start reading with 44. So this is Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So when I was just taking my time in that verse, it took me to John 5:39, which also affirms that we are to search the scripture and find Christ and all the treasures of his truth. Mm. So I'm like, oh, I get it. We have the opportunity personally, like you just spoke of, to search the word daily and find treasures. Mm-hmm. And all we're inviting women to come alongside and join us is to search his word for those hidden treasures that's going to bring us joy. Okay, so I'm like, that's awesome. Then the next parable is of the pearl. And it's about, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, excuse me, in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had so he could buy it, so he could keep it. And that was affirmed to me with Matthew 10:25, that Christ is enough. Like everything we have should be dispensable or disposable, or we should be able to release the possessions of to just possess our relationship with Christ. So then I'm starting to think and contemplate some of the excuses for women not being in the room are because of material need and possession. Mm-hmm. Work. I'm going to classes. I have kids and no one to watch the kids. Although Midweek Kids is back at NLC the same nights we're meeting. So bring your children, and they also are going to be in the Word with your children while you're in the Word with us. But anyway, a lot of what I know Satan tempts our eyes away from spending time in the truth is the right now immediate need that we have. Mm-hmm. Because I know the Holy Spirit is wanting to pursue us toward God's truth. And it's hard. It's hard to find the time. It's hard sometimes to get the support, but that's what we're here for. So then continue reading. The next verses in Matthew are about the parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, the men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw the evil into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what the Holy Spirit just reignited and reminded me of is it's our job to first and foremost have a personal pursuit of Christ, period. Search the scripture for truth ourselves, period. Find his treasures, hold the pearl, have the joy, period. But then our job is to cast the net. Just cast the net. Tell others. Hey, you want to come on Wednesday? Hey, you want to read the word? Hey, you want to talk about what you're reading? The Holy Spirit will do the catching mm-hmm. and pulling the nets back up. It's our job to just cast it out there, because there is a judgment, and God's judgment will prevail in the end. But my job is to first and foremost continue my relationship and offer other people to join me in pursuit. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. It's his job. So then I'm reading in Psalm. It was the very next day. It was Psalm 19:1-14. And I already had this big application of, okay, so that's just affirming that what we are doing personally, what we're talking about on the podcast, and that what we're offering this spring for other women is directly in line with our charge of read the word, find him in the word, tell others about it. Mm-hmm. So this is Psalm 19, and I'm going to focus on 7-11. So I'm just going to read it. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So in just reading that, if anyone is ever thinking, Like, what am I supposed to do? And we've already talked about, you're not supposed to do, you're supposed to be. And then they may be thinking, well, I don't even know how to be. The path of the righteous is to read God's word, study God's word, and walk out his word. Mm-hmm. And these verses, if you break it down, it's basically saying that the word of God first is refreshment. That's how we can gain a new, like it's reviving. It's like electrolytes. It's like, oh, I just don't, I'm weak. I have faith, but I'm weak in it. Girlfriend, read the word of God. It will revive your soul. Mm-hmm. But then it says it's going to make wise the simple. So not only will it refresh us, but it's going to bring to us clarity and understanding. So if you're thinking, I don't really know what to do, I don't know how to be, well, how often are you in the word of God? Because mm-hmm. he's going to refresh and revive you, and he's going to make the simple-minded me wise.
Yeah.
Then it says it's going to give us the ability to rejoice in it. So the truth we're looking for, and the truth we're going to walk out, he's going to bring us joy in the walking out of the truth.
That's good.
Then it says the commandment of the Lord, as pure as it is, it's going to enlighten your eyes. So it's calling to me to, where do we get that, like, vibrant, like you're just alive? It's by taking action. If just knowing his truth is great, that's one thing. And understanding it is the next. And rejoicing in what we know, that's super. But we have to take action then on what we know. Tell others, share others, invite others along the journey. And then it says, fear the Lord, so that we should have great revere and awe for him. Study the rules of the Lord. We should study his word. And it will be more delight to us than gold, fine gold, and sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So we're going to be able to delight in it, and we're going to be able to gain wisdom as riches. Wisdom as riches, because storing up treasures, which then I had to go look up that verse, mm-hmm. just storing up treasures here in this life is for nothing. And that verse is, don't store up treasures, Matthew 6:19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures. So we don't want those kind of riches that can be gone in an instant, tornado, hurricane, fire. Right. We want wisdom as riches that will stay with us. And then it says, after we gain that wisdom as riches, moreover by that, the servant is told that their reward is growing. So what I got from that is, like, Maddie sits here across the table from me. She is not my age. And I look at people that are ahead of me in life or wisdom, maybe spiritual age, not necessarily earthly age. But I look ahead at people and I'm like, wow, I want that wisdom. What this spoke to me is the Holy Spirit is telling you, wisdom will come to you. You will have growth in character, but it comes at a cost. What cost does that come at? That are you looking in his word? Mm-hmm. Are you gaining the refreshment? Then when you understand it and rejoice in it, that's lovely. But are you taking action on that refreshment and that understanding? It's when we walk in it, revering God, maybe not even understand why we're taking that action other than we were propelled to take it, that's how the wisdom is going to be gained that become riches that grow us in character. So you can't jump from A to Z and just say, okay, I'm going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to have this amazing relationship and I'm going to have all this wisdom. And then 2 months in, you're like, ugh, this isn't fast enough for me. And then start backing out. The Holy Spirit will enlighten us, affirm us, convict us, but he strives to activate us. Mm. And to me, it's in the activation. So what's crazy is it kind of seems like an oxymoron. It's not about what you should be doing. Just be, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you just be in the Word of God, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to ask you to do. But here's the big difference. if you do before you be, who's thinking of what to do? We are. Mm-hmm. If you be in the word until you're activated to do, who's giving you the directive?
The spirit. Yeah, that's good.
And so I'm like, oh my goodness, you cannot rush the path of the righteous. You can't rush the rewards of wisdom. You can't rush your own character and growth and development. All you can do is sink in for the ride. Mm-hmm. Just jump in the car. Just jump in the car and get on the road. So, long infomercial commercial about, honestly, we've got 12 women that have decided we're going to go on a journey. We don't even know what it necessarily looks like. In fact, we had some questions this afternoon about, well, how are we going to do this and how are we going to do this? And what was my answer, Maddie?
I don't know.
I don't really know. We're in the house of God, honoring the Spirit of God, and we're just going to show up. Mm-hmm. Well, how many people do you think are going to be there? I don't know. I don't care. I do care. And one person said, whoever shows up is who God wants in the room, which is poignantly perfect. But all we know is we are on this journey. We are on this journey for our own personal gain of wisdom. Mm-hmm. We are striving the path of righteousness. We are striving to receive the reward and the riches of wisdom. And we just want to know if there's anybody else that wants to journey with us for accountability and support. It's not that we are at the end of our journey and we're telling other people how to get there. No. We're saying, we're doing this. Anybody want to do it with us?
Right. I think that's kind of part of the call of the disciples, you know, Jesus's call. They were not in all the perfect spaces and places. I mean, they only spent 3 years together, and then he shot them out and said, go. And they didn't have all the answers.
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going to happen. But it's our call still to stand strong, to do what we're supposed to do, to be with who we're supposed to be. And then if it's not worth sharing, then, you know, it's kind of a level. If you're being, and then he asks you to do, he's going to ask you to share because your story is worth it. It's praising and glorifying him. Your journey praises him and blesses him and points your life to him. And if you're in a place where you've maybe never gotten alongside someone, never asked someone to hold you accountable, I would challenge you to think about if he's worth it and he's good and he's God, he's worth sharing. And your story, like we've talked about it, it's enough. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing through you, whatever it is, it's for his glory. And so, you know, all of these stories in the Bible, the good, the bad, the real ugly, the miracles, they're all pointing to him, and our story should do the same. And it's encouraging that all we have to do is accept him, believe in him, and just get to know him more. And when we get to know him more, we really want to be like him and get that fruit that he plants all throughout the word. And it really is a blessing.
And when I think about his disciples, he called men from different walks of life, with different characteristics, different, you know, like outgoing, quiet, you know.
Married, single.
Yes. And he knew that he needed all of them, and they needed him first and foremost. So I think, and we were even talking about it today at our facilitators' living room talk here at my house. Everyone has their own self-doubt. Everyone has their own, do I measure up? Am I enough? Inadequacy. And what Maddie can say for herself and I can share is that is the space to me where he wants to use us. Because in the void of our perceived strength, in the area that doesn't maybe come natural to us, if we can surrender that to him and he can work through our perceived inadequacy, then we don't claim the victory.
That's right.
We say, well, there was no way I could have done that without him. Mm-hmm. Because he equips. He calls, he equips. If it's something like, oh yeah, that's my jam, that's, I'm good at that, and I do it, then I did that. Mm-hmm. So I think what's interesting is the 12 of us in the living room were vulnerably able to recall an area of even leading other women in the Word of God that we feel ill-equipped. Mm-hmm. But it's by that exact surrender of, well, this is an area I'm not strong in, or this is an area I'm not strong in, or, well, this is an area I have a fear of. By giving him all of that and saying, it is not about any of us, but you need all of us, mm-hmm. and our various walks of life, our various professions, our various outgoing, quiet, you know, just, you need each of us to make a collection of the right personalities for this call. And mm-hmm. I just think sometimes we allow Satan, to call it what it is, and his ability to have a spiral with some anxiety or fear to keep us from the activation level. We might read the Word of God, we might see a truth, we might say, that's amazing, and we may even find joy in it, like Psalms walked us through. Read the Word, find the truth, experience joy, but it's out of the obedience to put that into action or practice that we really level up with our growth in our spiritual maturity and wisdom. Mm-hmm. So we are excited to vulnerably share with other women what we're learning, and then when they are ready, no one has to share until they're ready, but when they are ready, to know they have a small group that's willing to listen to where they are in their own walk. And Wednesday, we're going to literally start with, what does you meeting with God in his word look like for you? When are you doing it? How are you doing it? And who's someone that can hold you accountable? And if you don't have an accountability partner already, that's what we're on site to do. Mm-hmm. To be able to just check in with you and say, and how can we help? Or do you need an idea of something to read? Or text me something you've learned? Or that's all that accountability is, just someone else that has their hand out. And if you fall down, they'll put their hand out to pick you up. And if they fall down, you're willing to put your hand back out and help them get back up. Mm-hmm. That's all accountability is someone to say, how you doing? And if you say, not good, they're like, well, how can I help?
Yeah, I think about with the story of Peter and Jesus walking on the water, there's all those people in the boat.
Yeah.
And then after that happened, after he steps out, that's amazing. And then he starts to drown. Well, yes. That's terrifying. And then Jesus saves them, and they come. They're praising.
Yes.
They're glorifying God, and it didn't happen to them. Yeah. They were just there. And you just think of who do you have in your corner that can encourage,
yeah,
and praise God because of something that's happening in your life when maybe it's not happening to them. Vice versa, someone that will encourage, yes, you even, yes, when you're in the pits and nothing's going right in your life, but you can look to them and you're not comparing and you're not jealous and you're not judging,
yes,
but in a good way, their life is encouraging you.
Yes.
Keep going.
Yes.
Stay strong. Yeah. My victories are your victories. We're all, you know, yes, children of God working together, and you're putting yourself aside for the greater good, and we're all helping each other get closer to Jesus, running the same race, persevering, sticking it out together, building those righteous habits. And it's so much easier when you just get started and get vulnerable and just do, you just got to start. And if you have started, you got to keep going. That's what just kept popping out. You got to keep going. You got to keep going no matter what's going on around you.
Yeah, I think that's part of accountability is just the checking in with someone. You know, just how are you doing? It's so easy to excel or diminish in private and no one knows. No one knows if, like, hey, I've read my Bible 5 days straight. Or no one knows I haven't picked up my Bible in 2 months. You know, no one's checking in on your private relationship.
Right.
Which, when I think about that, that our relationship with God, first and foremost, should be personal and our relationship with Him. You don't need to have a public platform without a personal relationship. I get that. But He didn't say to have a private relationship. It says just have a personal one.
Right.
So what I do with God, what I'm studying in the Word, what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me, is first and foremost what's most necessary for my lifeline as a believer. But if I don't do anything more with it than that, then it's just like I'm not offering any more oxygen in a room or knowledge or understanding. I'm not giving support. I'm not giving anyone else any help.
Yeah.
It's just like, ooh, got a good thing going on here. But also, even if you've got a good thing going on in private, and you hit a low, and you stop, who knows you stopped? Mm-hmm. Who knows you started? Who knows you're doing anything? So the nice thing about accountability, it doesn't need to be loud or in anybody's face, or it doesn't need to be so public. It just needs, is there someone else that you can say, I'm in a low spot. I'll talk about it a few Wednesdays from now on a midweek motivation, but it's a term, crisis of belief. So hang in there. But you'll get to a point where you may see you are experiencing a crisis of belief. You need someone to just be help.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, without judgment, without talking about you behind your back or to someone else, just say, you know, what can I do? First, I'll pray. Can we meet together? Can we grab coffee? Can we have lunch? Can I send you what I'm reading here lately? It's just a reason to check in with somebody. It's a reason to even talk spiritually with someone else.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's just, it's like you're checking your pulse. It's just like you're like, yep, okay.
Yep, still going strong.
still alive.
Right, yeah.
But I think if some people, because like it came up in the room today that some people may have never had an accountability partner. So what does that look like? And so we were just talking, we were actually mocking small groups within the house. There were some here in the dining room at the table. There were some in the living room and there were some in my office to put ourselves in the experience that you women will be in when you join us. And so good questions were coming up and they were, some of them was, what if someone has never even walked life out with an accountability partner? So we were talking about, well, what does that look like? Who could that be? And so if that's you, that you're listening to this and you're like, I've never had an accountability partner, we want you to know it may potentially look scary at the beginning, but it is so exhilaratingly supportive to have someone that, you can just shout out to and say, oh, I came across this. It was amazing. It's exactly what I needed. Or this affirmed what I was reading the other day.
Yeah.
Or just to say, ooh, I've not been able to get in the Word the last few days. Will you pray for me that just to bind Satan from my time or to help me find when I'm going to fit that in? You know, just someone to be vulnerably transparent with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with it seems intimidating and scary to start a new habit, mm-hmm. like reading the Bible mm-hmm. or praying or going to church. Starting something new is intimidating. Once you get into it, you're like, oh, this wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then sharing something you've learned might sound super intimidating.
Yes.
But once you've done it,
yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
So new things are scary. But we are not called to be comfortable in the faith.
Yeah. It was interesting today that I will say it makes a culture and a climate shift, because the women that were in my house today have been in my house before. Several of them have. Some of them have not. But when the expectation is such that we're going to share a truth and how we're applying it, which is what I sent out in the text, be mm-hmm. prepared if you feel comfortable sharing a truth and how you're applying that truth. That's all. So when they walked in the room, I mean, coming in from the sidewalk, coming in the door, some of them were already saying, I'm so excited to share my truth. I can't wait to share my truth. Yeah. So it's a change of culture, that this is a place where this is what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm excited about, is that a culture of women and the climate can be such that you look forward to walking into a place with like-minded believers who have all been on the same pursuit in the absence of gathering together.
Yeah.
And as we come together, we just almost are clamoring. We can't wait till someone says, okay, who wants to share? Oh, I do. Yeah. I'm going to share out of Matthew, or I'm going to share out of James, or whatever, from my devotion or from my calendar that has a thought and a verse or whatever. But you're just excited to let others know that you've been awakened in some way mm-hmm. by the Word of God, and then activated by that.
And I can't help but think, and I believe that once you start sharing what the Spirit
yes.
is doing inside of you and telling you, and what you're learning, that
there's no limits,
clearer yes. and clearer
yes.
and you're more on His level, and He's like, oh, I'm going to speak to her again
because
yes. she's going to say it out loud.
Yes.
I'm going to speak to her again because she's going to say it out loud.
Yes.
I'm going to speak to her again
yes.
because she's going to share
yes. Yes.
what I'm telling her.
Yes.
That's what I feel. I feel like when I share, it just more and more comes, and it's because I'm getting closer, because I'm doing the daily work, because
yes.
I'm building that personal relationship, and I'm getting step and step closer. We're walking together. But then when I'm sharing, it's like, oh, even more
yes.
is coming, and more is coming. And just like,
yes.
once you hear it and you
yep.
do it, He's going to bless that and give you
yes.
more. If you're
yes.
what, faithful
it's
in a little,
yes. it's
He'll
obedience.
Give you a lot.
Yes.
I believe it.
And that happened actually today in the living room as well. It was toward the end. We were wrapping up. We were all in small group times, and then we all came back collective at the end. And Leslie, shout out, she says, okay, I'm going to say this, but you could tell she was kind of hesitant. And then afterwards she came and said, I was really going to just private Marco Polo you. And then I thought, no, I need to say this in front of everybody. And she's like, I was intimidated, but I said it. And the minute Leslie let what she should have said out of her mouth, then like 2, 3, 4 others were like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yes, I was thinking.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to say it. Yeah, that was what I was thinking. It's like the Spirit is, like I said, it pursues. He swells within us when two or more are gathered in a room. It's like He's like, yes, this is a community of like-minded women. But sometimes we allow our humanness, or we don't want to steal the stage, or we don't want to take up too much time, or we don't want to insert ourselves where we don't belong. You know, we do all the etiquette things. But then when like you hear it from someone else, you're like, oh, then I wasn't crazy. I was hearing that same thing too. Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's the Spirit speaking collectively to more than one person. But if those people don't get together in one space and share it,
yeah.
how will you ever see, oh my goodness, that affirms then what I was reading.
Right.
So that's what, I guess to end, I would say, what are you most excited about on this spring journey, Maddie? And before you go, I'll say that's what I'm most excited about. I am most excited about. We are honoring God as daughters of the King. We are putting in the pursuit to read His Word, study His truths, and be activated into acting it out. I'm so excited to see how it just reverbs through the space, and it just like catches breath and wind and escalates and burns, just like fuel to a fire. Just how, I just have no idea of what can happen from this. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to do something a little different with some different people.
Yes.
And kind of challenge myself and take another step.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it's called becoming fully devoted. And so I feel like that's the journey that I'm on. I'm becoming more and more devoted. And so this is another thing that I've kind of laid down in front of Him. Use it as you will. And I'm excited to become more devoted myself and then get the opportunity to share what I'm learning and challenge other ladies and hear what they're learning and just build that. That it excites me now that I've tasted and seen how cool it is to share and live it out. Like it, I'm all in.
Yes.
And so I want to get other people on board too.
Sweeter than honey, better than finest gold. And I also appreciated, I can't exactly remember if it was Corbett or Lisa here today, facilitators, but one of them said, and also a safe place for women to come and just vulnerably ask a question about God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you're reading something and you're really like, could someone help me? I don't know that I understood what that meant. And just having a safe place. And we might not be able to answer right there on site. We might be able to, I'm going to write that question down and get back to you.
Yeah.
And we have to look into it. But it's a safe place to not judge anyone for like, you didn't understand that. You had a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have questions all the time about the truth of His word. That's why I look at commentaries and I look at the Greek and the Hebrew and I cross-reference. And I mean, that's why it takes us weeks sometimes on one aspect of it. But when I stop and think about it, and I was saying this to Maddie and Leslie in their small group, I have never been a part of a safety net like this myself.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I do personally to walk the path of the righteous and to walk out what it looks like to walk as Christ walked. And I was only propelled forward to even ask other women to jump in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never even seen a culture going almost like a level up with, okay, this is what we're doing. If you want to do it too, you've got to put in some work on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get together, we're expecting that this is a challenge we've all agreed to take and come back together and let's talk about that challenge. So I think that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, see how it goes.
So once again, we love that you're listening to our podcast. We know that not everyone lives even in our state or lives where they can get here. And we know everyone's not available on a Wednesday night. We know people work. We know people are single mothers. We know a lot of things are true hardships, but keep listening to the podcast. Keep doing your work in the Word. Keep listening, praying, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me, and you will reap the rewards for the work that you put in, and invite someone else along on your journey. Shout out to Pam, Angelina, and Janelle, my sister and two nieces, who literally Marco Polo'd me from their last small group meeting to share their verses and show me their Bibles and their journals and say, we're doing this. And they're in Tennessee. So you don't have to be close to be close with others around the Word of God. But if you can come, join us. We start Wednesday, this Wednesday, NLC Fayetteville. So just a great reminder to each of us to just continue accepting the challenge to walk the path of the righteous, read and study God's word, and walk it out and share it with others for them to be invited and supported along on our journey. Thank you again, Maddie, for being here at my table. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.